Praise the Lord. This is Pastor Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in 1 Kings chapter 11. There are 43 verses in this chapter, and we'll probably be doing more translation on it and commentary than reading from the King James Version, because what we're doing here is identical to the King James Version, only we're using up-to-date language rather than the Old English. Plus, we have a couple of letters. Both of these today are from different parts of the African continent. We also have part five of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or the outpouring on the outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Part five. All right. Right now, let's all go up to the throne. And as for the outward anointing for the power to be able to minister the gospel of life into the life that many of you already have in you, and also to minister the life of God that you don't have in you, so that we can minister it into you so that you can have eternal life, and then later receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that you can have the power of God upon you in order to let God have his will in your life to accomplish God's goal, which is to put together one body, which is the body of Christ. We call it the body. Christ is the head, and those of us are the body. We're not individuals that are able to exist in with Christ unless we exist within the body of Christ. We can't exist in the body of Christ any more than a branch can exist away from the tree. If a branch is taken from off of a tree, it withers and dies. But if it's in the tree, if it's in the body of the tree, then it can exist and do work. It can bear fruit. So we, none of us, are individuals if we're of Christ, if we've come out of Christ as Eve came out of Adam. Everyone that is in the world came out of Adam. Those of us who are of Christ came out of Christ. We are of his body. God did not take many ribs out of Adam, but he took one rib, and this is how all humanity came forth, was through Adam and Eve, which the Old Testament tells us, and the New, that Adam and Eve are one. They are Adam. And we come out of Christ, those of us that are of Christ, came out of him by the Spirit. We're joined together, joints and bands into one body, and therefore we must fight the fight for God as one body. We cannot fight Satan alone. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We must fight Satan as a body. We must help one another. We must love one another. In other words, keep God's commandments in order for us to be able to do this, to be successful in our war against Satan. So, Father, we ask that you open up the hearts, minds, spirits of everyone so that they can receive the power, your power, more of your life in them. And that we pray, Lord, we've already asked you that you'll anoint this message, the reading of the word, the letters, the commentaries, that people may be more able and more willing to do your will, and that they'll have the grace, which means the power, to do your work. You said, Lord, that we would have power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. You had the power to be in the ministry when the Holy Spirit came upon you, when you were being baptized by John. The Spirit of God came down upon you as a dove, just as the Spirit came down upon the people in the upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, when the tongues of fire came upon them, and a mighty wind filled the room, a roaring mighty wind, and they were all filled inside and were anointed outwardly with fire and tongues. Tongues of fire and water and fire. Lord, do this for all of the people that are listening. Let them know that to receive anything from you is simply to have faith, to have complete trust in everything that you say. That is, every word that proceeds from your mouth. Let them have faith to receive it so that they can receive everything that you've already provided for them. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
All right, praise the Lord. So let's begin reading the letters. Where are they from, Sister Michelle?
The first one's from Nassawam, Ghana, Africa.
Okay. It
says, "Dear friend, thank you for the books you have been sending us. You have no idea how much insight we find in the books. It is amazing the refreshing presence that you can find yourself in when the Lord himself enjoys what you are reading, because it is drawing you near to him. We are sharing our copies with the whole Christian family. Thank you once more for your commitment and dedication to send us books. Every one of the issues has challenged us to be more committed to the Lord."
What they mean is newsletters. I mean, because that's primarily what we send them. It's newsletters, and then I have a book called Messiah. And this is what they are talking about here. All right, then what? Keep going.
"Every one of the issues has challenged us to be more committed to the Lord for his call on my life, and souls are being saved. At present, we are Christian leaders and use your material to prepare our sermons. We have ministry with believers in the town and outside. Please, more materials like books, magazines, and study Bibles."
And our tapes. We're providing our tapes to anyone that wants them. And thus far, this year, I've done approximately 450 or more. 450. I do them every day. And sometimes I do two or three a day. Today, I did seven. All right? Seven tapes. Because I always want to get everything out that the Lord wants me to give out. So that in the event that anything ever happens to me, my work will continue on when I'm gone. And that's the way you should feel too. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
"Moreover, believers are relying on these devotionals and spiritual materials like this for their spiritual growth and strength. Spiritual materials like these are so tremendously helpful in a situation like we are in, and we receive them from time to time. We are grateful for the books. God is faithful to keep his people by sending servants like you. Thanks, your friend, EAD, from Nassawam, Africa."
Praise the Lord, everybody. Pray for them. And just don't send prayers up to the ceiling, but really pray for them that God will bless them all the more and get more literature to them. And let inform them that we have the tapes now and that they will also help them very much. All right, then what else?
The second letter is from Accra, Ghana, Africa. Says, "Dear Pastor Olamo, greetings to you from the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. I know and believe that since God is by your side, you're always more than a conqueror. I thank you for the literatures and the two Bibles you sent to me. You've really helped my people to understand the Word of God very easily, and our evangelical work has been easy and successful. Your literature is doing a wonderful work in people's lives. After sharing the tracts among ourselves, the Bible study groups, I had only 20 pieces, and I went around the big men in the big companies and factories to tell them about Christ through your literature, and many of them, by his grace, have made them to see the true light of Christ. So far, 10 pastors, including my Bible studies pastor, have requested for your book, The Messiah, and I, for instance, cannot withstand reading it from series to series. The 32 prayer cassettes you gave me is a wonderful miracle in my pastor's life, and he has refused giving it to me. And whenever I ask for even one cassette, he tells me to exercise patience. My request at the moment is that we need more tracts, since the first ones were not enough, and some Bibles for our new converts. May the Almighty God bless you for the wonderful work he is using you to do. Your son in Christ, T.A. from Accra, Ghana, Africa."
Also, make sure that they get plenty of tapes, because this is a greedy pastor that won't that makes up all these excuses that they have to exercise patience. We're living in a day and age where we shouldn't have to have patience to receive the Word of God. Yeah, somebody that's hungry needs to be fed. Amen?
Amen.
So get the tapes to all the hungry.
Amen.
The literature, the newsletters, the tapes, and the Bibles. All right, then what? Now, Sharon, let's go forward here with chapter 11 in 1 Kings.
Solomon's Many Wives, King James Version, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites.
The Jews call them Shiksas, people that are not Jews. In the New Testament, we are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. It was the same way in the Old Testament. The Lord did not want his people, to be yoked up with unsaved women. There is a separation between God and Satan, and God wants to keep it that way. There's a movement today that wants everyone to get together under one roof. In other words, they want both people that are of Satan and the people that are of the Lord to mingle together as one. This is strictly forbidden by God. Now, God loves everyone that He created, and He wants all of us to be part of one body. But there is the body of Adam, and there is the body of Satan, which is the body of Satan, and then there's the body of Christ. Now, we do all have to get together, but let's not make the mistake by getting all together in the body of Adam, which is the body of Satan. Predominantly, this is the way the world is set up. They all believe in getting together. It doesn't make any difference if people are Satan worshippers or if they are Muslims or Catholics or Buddhists or Hindus or whatever. They want all of us, and even us, to get involved. And because we don't want to include ourselves in this all-inclusive body of Satan and the Antichrist, well, they're putting the pressure on, you know, that let's boycott Tony Alamo. They will not allow me to have credit cards. They don't allow me to be on the radio or television. Now, recently they're saying, okay, let him be on radio, so that'll make him look like a liar. And then if he's killed, then we won't get blamed for it. They'll say, see, he said that we wouldn't let him on radio. This has been going on in television. They wouldn't let us on for, it's been over 23 years now. One time I was let on a few small coffee pot radio stations, but they even took me off of those. And so they even tore down the tower, or they stopped a man from having his radio station when my brother was the talk show host on one of them and was interviewing me all the time. They said, either stop it or we're going to take your FCC license away, and they did. Okay, but so the Lord states that these things were going to be happening, that they're going to, you know, put us out of the synagogues, they're going to make us look like we're evil and that they're not the evil ones. How could they not be evil when they don't do what the Lord says? The Lord says, separate yourself from them because I'm holy. Be ye holy. And they're saying that no one can be perfect or holy because they want everybody to believe that that's the way it is, so we might as well all just commit adultery, fornication, become lesbians, homosexuals, murderers, thieves, abortionists, first-degree murderers, in other words, and all the other things, covetous, that people are. So, you know, we're only human, they say. They don't even know how to say human. They say human. And this is not the way it is. The Lord says that when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become the sons of God. We're no longer sinners saved by grace, but we are former sinners, but now we're sons of God. Saved, they don't know what the word grace means. They say it's undeserved favor, but grace means power, the power of God. Grace and truth, or power and truth, came with Jesus. And what they do is pervert the truth. So this makes them, in the first chapter of Romans, it tells how that they love the wages of sin. They love working that which is shameful and evil, such as homosexuality, lesbianism. And what is much worse than that, they encourage others to do the same. In other words, people say, well, you know, we don't see any problem with homosexuals. Yeah, but when they start to try to convert your sons and daughters into that sort of thing, and you still don't see any problem in it, then you're the same class of person they are, because you're disobeying the Word of God. And that's how the entire world got into it in the first place. It's why they have to die. That's all of us have to die. And all of us are on our way to hell unless we accept the right way. In other words, unless we accept Christ. In other words, Christ is the whole Word of God. Now, the whole Word of God is able to give us power. Jesus is power. All power in heaven and earth belongs to Jesus. And so when we believe in all the Word of God, we receive it into us, that gives us the power to not sin anymore. Gives us the power to be perfect. And then people say, well, no one can be perfect. Speak for yourself, if that's what you think. That's only because of the fact that you refuse the Word of God, that you refuse Christ. That's why you are not perfect, and that you never will unless you start receiving Christ, the Word of God, the whole Word of God. Believe on the whole Word of God, and thou shalt be saved. And it's not just believing in it for an educational purpose, or for you, so that you can have an intellectual knowledge of the Bible, but you must receive it by faith into your heart that God has provided everything for you, such as salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost, that He's provided healing for you, by His stripes you were healed, and victory is yours, and being more than a conqueror in this wicked world is yours also. But you receive all these things by faith. And you also receive the power to turn your back on all the world, all the lusts of the world, sin, Satan, your flesh, your ideas, your different opinions, because all of your opinions and ideas are of the devil. And we've done this in the series. So reject all these things, and don't be like King Solomon. Keep yourself totally, for don't believe that you can become included in ungodly women, or you women that are born of the Spirit, that you can include yourself in a worldly man, because that is totally against God's will. And if you're disobedient in that regard, then you're the same as a witch. It's the same as witchcraft, is to disobey the Lord. And I've warned many people in the church about people that were not of the Lord, but they went ahead and got married to him anyway. They were in the church on a test trial. It's just a strange thing when you have a gospel work. People say, oh, I love the Lord, I want to move in, and so they do. So it's just like throwing a net into the water. You pull up some good fish, and then you pull up some fish that are unclean to eat, such as shrimp. Seafood, that is shrimp, crabs, lobsters. A lot of people take offense to this. You won't go to hell for it, but it's not good for your health. These things are not considered by God to be food. And then people bring up the scripture and quote it wrongly, where the Bible says that call not anything clean, unclean, that God has called clean. God has never called shrimp, lobster, crab, or any of these things clean. He doesn't go back on his word either. When he says something is unclean, it is unclean. Just like buzzards and eagles, you're not to eat those, sparrows, robins, and so on, ducks and geese. People do that, but they don't have gizzards. Okay? I try to get as much of these messages as I possibly can so that people, you know, can get sent, because I see so many people going to these seafood places, like oysters and all that, and they say, we go to a place once in a while that's a seafood, but they have halibut and also salmon. And they say, you won't have shrimp? What do you come here for? Well, you know, I don't want to take the time to, you know, just start preaching the Bible to them, because they're not going to, if I don't feel led of the Lord to witness to somebody, I just don't. And right there, you know, we're hungry, we want to get our meal, and I don't want to sit there and start telling, the place is very busy and the waitress is not going to stand there and listen to a message anyway. But I don't eat it because it's unclean. And a lot of people are offended at that, because I won't eat what they eat. But anyway, like I said, if you want to eat pork and all these things that God calls unclean or an abomination, then go ahead and do it. But they're scavengers. They put in the bottom of the sea, these, what they call seafood. And also the hog is and dogs. And all these are to clean up the earth. Buzzards, eagles, jackals, wolves. They're not for food. They're not food. So anyway, getting back to the spiritual realm here, God told King Solomon and all of us not to be married to unsaved people because they're idol worshippers. And God requires that we worship only Him because there's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved, and that's the name of Christ. And there's no power in anyone else to resurrect from the dead, because all power and all wisdom, Christ is considered our wisdom, the Word of God is our wisdom, and the Word of God is our power. Christ is the Word of God. And so why spend your time following somebody else? It's because of the fact that you want to be blind because you like to sin. And you're going to regret it when you stand before the judgment bar of God, just like I'm sure King Solomon was. So let's continue on with chapter 11, First Kings. I'm just telling you a few things that the Lord does not endorse. He doesn't condone. And if you want to go ahead and do it, you're a free moral agent, and you can do it if you want. But the Bible not only advises you not to, it commands you not to if you want to go to heaven. All right, then go ahead.
Verse 2. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you.
You see, that's a commandment. You shall not go into them. He didn't say, I suggest that you don't go in. He says, you shall not go into them. You have to keep yourself separate. So don't go for this stuff that Benny Hinn, who is just exalting the Pope, this idolatrous Vatican, don't be doing what he says or any other false prophet like him. Because the worst thing, the bad thing is to be like him, but worse than that, what he's doing is leading other people to go to hell with him. Oh my God, you're saying Benny Hinn and the Pope is going... Yes, I don't say that. I'm just telling you what God said. Now, if you don't believe the Word of God, I don't expect you to believe me. But if you think I'm quoting the Word of God, then you read it for yourself. Because you'll find out that what I'm telling you is not the gospel of Tony Alamo. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not ashamed of it, for it's the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Okay? So go ahead and read some more.
Ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Verse 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old.
Why do you feel that God doesn't want you going? Because he'll turn your heart away from the Lord. That's what they'll do. And the Lord knows how weak the humans are. And so he wants you to be strong. And the way to be that strong is to turn away from the things that the Lord tells you to turn away from. Because if one link in you is weak, the whole chain is weak. All of you is weak. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And if you let one of these commandments become weak in you, that you just don't receive it. Well, I just don't think that God is going to do anything. I just don't think. That's your stupid, rotten opinion. But that isn't the word of your opinion, and your ideas are not the word of God. And so, you have to get rid of your I, the you, the self, and you have to let that be crucified. When you get saved, you're supposed to, that old man of yours, the devil that was in you, is supposed to be crucified with Christ. Paul said he's crucified with Christ, and that he dies daily. And that's what we must do. We have to die from our own opinions, our own ideas, and all these I's and me's and I think and all these different things. get rid of them, because we can go and only go, if we want to go to heaven, go by the word of God. Go with God and be saved. And then what?
Verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God.
Well, in other words, it can be perfect if you do everything the Lord says. It says, everybody says, well, we're weak. Yes, you're weak because you don't receive the word of God. And by, if you are don't receive the word of God, you're going to hell. And then you're going to be flung into the lake of fire. And why am I so emphatic in these things today? Because I see no other preacher on television that's just coming down the line like this. Or they'll tell you that President Bush is the Messiah. My God, what a bunch of reprobates. All right, this man is not Catholic, just like Betty Hinn is, and then most of your people, Jan and Paul Crouch, the Crystal Cathedral. And these are idol worshippers. They're pushing statues on you and giving them away. Oh, that isn't the worst thing they do. They condone this Antichrist regime. And when they do this, they're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for this sin in this world or in the world to come. Why do you think they don't let me on television or radio? And if they do put me on, they don't leave me on long. You know why? Because at one time, they were letting me do interviews, and people would call me at large radio stations and television stations, please do interviews with us because the Nielsen rating is coming up. Because everybody believes what I'm saying. Because they know, they check it out in the Bible. I get so many scriptures from my literature, and they see it. I was in court. They stated all kinds of false things about me, and if you believed them, oh, woe unto you. I didn't do any of the things that they said I've done. They said I've done all kinds of things, and it's not true. Naturally, when you bring out all these things about Satan, he has no recourse but say something about you, and if he can't think of anything real, he just makes up things. Because the Bible says he's a liar and the father of it. And so, even in a courtroom, my attorney was seeking a bail, you know, so I get out, and the prosecuting attorney says, oh, judge, don't give him bail. And the press was there from all over the world, from China, Burma, the Philippines, England, London, Italy, France, everywhere. And this prosecuting attorney says, don't give him bail. He says that the government, that the one world government, is the devil, and they believe him. Oh, everyone went, there was over a couple of hundred people pressed there, and a bunch of them had to stay out in the hall. And that's how popular I am, and they know it. I'm more popular than they are. How many people do you know that believes the President of the United States or believes the press, the media? Less than 0.5%, and even the press and the people believe that anyone does believe those people or the government, that they're idiots to believe such things. They say, well, you know, of course, they are liars, and we know that, and we know they don't tell the truth, but of course we do have the best government on earth. Oh, is that right? Democracy happens to be dictatorship. Democracy happens to be Antichrist. Why don't they call it like it really is? They say, are you going to vote for an Antichrist or the devil? That's the choice you have. Well, they're both Antichrist. The Republicans and the Democrats. The Bible says anyone that if we're going to war properly, we do not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. I don't want to be a part of the world dictatorship. I want to be the part of God dictator. God is a dictator, and what he says is going to happen. Now, he's silent, and he's allowing his people here on earth to tell the way he feels and the way that his will is and the way that he has dictated everything to be. And you, the president, the pope, or anybody, no one, all the people in the world are not going to change what he said. It's inevitable. You're going to stand before him naked as a jaybird, just the way you came into this world. And it's not going to be anybody standing there with you. And if you're a blasphemer of the Holy Spirit, or you have believed in one-worldism, you have taken the mark of the beast. You've taken it in your heart. And you'll gladly take the chip in the forehead or hand or whatever they're going to use to mark you with the mark of the beast. So what I'm telling you is you have to be separate and holy, just like the people of Israel were in the land of Egypt in the days of Moses. When God destroyed the land of Egypt, not one hair on the heads of the Israelites fell from their head. They were kept safe, and they were watching the destruction of Egypt as you would watch a movie. And that's just the way it's going to be in these last days. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then God will tell you, or he'll tell one of his leaders to tell you where to go so that you won't be hurt by these seven plagues, the major plagues that are going to be hitting the earth. Right now, many of the plagues are happening, but God will lead his people to a place of safety so that you won't be hurt. But there'll be a lot of people that won't believe that, and that's why God says that my people perish from a lack of knowledge. They perish from a lack of wisdom, the fear of the Lord. They don't like to do what the Lord says. We're independent. They've been taught to think that we can do whatever we please. And really you can, because the Lord says he made you free moral agents. But he said, that's why he says, do what you do it your way, or else do it my way. If you do it my way, you're safe. If you do it your way, you're lost. And you're going to hell. So let's continue on with Mr. Solomon here, David's son, who decided to do it his way, in the way of his whorish wives. Go ahead.
His heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 5.
You might say, his father's heart wasn't perfect. He committed sin. Yes, but he repented. And he showed us all that what happens when you sin. And he wrote a lot of the Bible, and he always was 100% for God. He says, if you slay me, I deserve it. And he did. He wasn't weak at all. He never sinned again. It was like an impulsive thing. He acted out of impulse and regretted it for the rest of his life. But there's some people that just live in adultery and fornication and homosexuality, lesbianism, and murder. They keep... You see these people stopping to abort people, to committing first-degree murder? No, they don't. They're not like David. You see people that are whoremongers that stop having illicit sexual relationships, illegal sexual relationships with men with men, women with women, or men with women and women with men, committing adultery. No, most of the people, the majority of them, you can see that they've had many sex affairs, and they don't intend to change at all because they think we're living in a new era of time. The same sins that people are committing today, they committed back in year one. And there's nothing different under the sun. So, people have done this and gone to hell and are waiting to be slung into the lake of fire. And the same thing's going to happen to you because the Lord is no respecter of persons. You may think you're a hot shot, but baby, you're going to die. And you're going to hell and the lake of fire if you don't repent. Okay, there's no other ways to cut it. All right, go ahead.
Verse 5. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Verse 6. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father.
Okay, all this is pretty explanatory, so just now let's continue on with, what verse was that?
That was 6.
Okay, let's go to 7 now in the translation, continue in translation.
Okay. Verse 7. On the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, he even built a shrine for Chemosh, Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and another for Molech, Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. Verse 8. Solomon built such shrines for all his foreign wives to use for burning incense and sacrificing to their gods.
Yeah, in other words, it's all right, dear. You don't have to worship the God who created heaven and earth and created us out of the dirt of the ground. You don't have to do that. Go ahead and worship a frog, or go ahead and worship your genitals, or a man's genitals, or a woman's genitals. Yeah, that's what you see in Greek. You see a man's genitals out on the ashtrays there. You go into a gift shop. They are idol worshippers even to this very day. Or you'll see them idolizing homosexuals, or lesbians, or eagles, or women, or even the Mary. Now, Mary is not deity, and they're trying to, this cult, this Vatican, is trying to make her deity as though man has the prerogative to change the actual Godhead. I mean, how simple and minded. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. This is a rejected person of God. These are rejected people of God, and put them even further and further into darkness. And some people are loved to be led into darkness by them. Okay, keep going.
Verse 9. The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the
Lord.
You
mean God is angry? No, they say God never gets angry. Well, this is Bible that we're reading to you, God's Word. And the Bible says if you believe the Word of God, you can be saved. But you believe that God never gets angry, then you're lost. And if you believe that God doesn't have wrath and that he's a terrorist, you're lost, because the Bible says he is. God says he is. And if you don't believe that God's going to pour out wrath on this earth, well, then you're lost if you don't believe that. Because he said he will. And he tells us exactly how he's going to do it. And, you know, lo and behold, he's doing it right now. Tsunamis, earthquakes, floods, fires. He says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. He's allowing these things to exist because of the fact that people love darkness more than light. He allows them to even become more perverse. Read the first chapter of Romans. That's exactly what it says. And he turns them over to a reprobate mind, and because they know the full death penalty of God for doing such things. And even knowing that, they continue on doing it, and they brag about it and boast of it, and worse than that, they encourage others to do the same thing. You see them trying to turn on little children. You see them teaching that in the schools. You see them teaching that and displaying that on television. You hear them talking about it in radio. You see signboards all over the world with the nudity on them. You see profanity as never before on television and radio. And they're trying to get everybody into that. Because Satan knows that his time is short. And therefore, he's full of wrath, seeking how he can destroy as many human souls as he possibly can before he himself, with them, are all slung into hell and then the lake of fire. So the Bible tells us to get your eyes off all these things. Because all that is nothing more than Satan encouraging you to do the same as all the others have gone on to hell. This, we're living the hour of temptation. And the Lord said, if you'll do what he says, in other words, keep your eyes strictly on the Lord, he'll keep you from this hour of temptation. But you have to cooperate. You have to get your eyes off the things that the Lord tells you to get your eyes off. If not, then your eyes are disobedient. Your heart is disobedient. And your eye is like the screen on a computer, and like the typewriter out there. You're just programming all these things into your heart, your soul, your mind. And whatever you program into yourself is what's there. And if you think God's going to let that which you program into yourself, if it's all this smut that you're seeing today, if you think God's going to let you enter into the kingdom of heaven with all that in you, you're in for a big surprise. Because he's not going to let any sin, any filth, any degeneracy, any spot, any wrinkle, any blemish to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be perfect. And the Bible plainly tells us in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans that you must be perfect, and he tells you how. And my tapes tell you how. Just keep listening and you'll hear how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and how to be filled with power. By the power, or by the grace of God, by the power of God, I will overcome this world. I'll overcome sin, Satan, the world, death, hell, and the grave. And the lake of fire. All right, go ahead.
The Lord was very angry with Solomon, for his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Verse 10.
So he actually appeared in front of the Solomon twice. So it had to be God the Son that appeared before him. Because God is the Spirit. He doesn't have any image except the image of his Son. Christ is the image and the likeness of the Father, of God himself. And so it was Jesus Christ that appeared before him, just as Jesus Christ appeared before the Apostle Paul, before Samuel, before Jeremiah, and before myself. I actually, before God, may God strike me dead and send my soul to hell this minute. If I'm telling a lie, I saw Christ. He appeared right in front of me with my eyes wide open. It wasn't a dream, it was a vision. And so the Bible says that no man can see God and live. That means that you cannot. You have to. But the Bible says that the Son has seen the Father. So if we're in the body of Christ, if we become sons of God, we are able then to see the Father. And the Father happens to be Christ. One of the disciples asked Jesus, "Show us the Father." And he said, "Have I been with you so long?" And so all those people during that day saw Christ. Amen. They saw his human form. But I saw the actual Christ after the ascension. And the Bible says that the reason that that there are no more apostles is because of the fact that the apostles were all given the actual word of God, and there can be no more word of God because the Bible plainly says that we can't add to or take away. But in another place it says all those, it tells us, and we can learn from the word of God, that those that see Christ, that see God, are apostles. And we're prophets, and there's prophets today, because the Lord said in these last days that he brought his spirit upon all flesh, and his sons and daughters, the sons and daughters, will prophesy. So that if you're prophesying, you're certainly a prophet. And that's what I'm doing to you right now. I'm prophesying to you what's going to happen to you, because so many people are not prophets today, and they're ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're ashamed to tell you. They're cowards. They're yellow. They're yellow bellies. They got a yellow belly, and they've got a yellow stripe down their back. But not Tony Alamo, and I know the government knows that, and you do too. All right, now go ahead. I'm back. You know, they've not let me on the air for 23 years, but I'm back. And how long I'll be here, I don't know. So listen closely. Tune in the website, and if you can't get me there, right? You know, we have an address. Okay, and we'll send you tapes, and I'm never going to stop preaching until the breath goes out of my body. All right, keep going.
Verse 10. He had warned Solomon specifically about worshiping other gods, but Solomon did not listen to the Lord's command.
You have to listen, man. Amen?
Amen.
You have to prick up your ears, because there isn't anything more important for you to hear. You can listen to Clark Gable. He's not going to tell you anything. Marilyn Monroe, James Dean, all these people, all this is meandering. But you better listen to me. Okay, because I'm not telling you what I say, I'm telling you what the Lord says, for your own good. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. So now the Lord said to him, quote, "Since you have not kept my covenant and have disobeyed my laws, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your servants."
You know what? He surely did. He did it. And then what else?
Verse 12. "But for the sake of your father David, I will not do this while you are still alive. I will take the kingdom away from your son." Verse 13. "And even so, I will let him be king of one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, my chosen city." Unquote. Solomon's enemies. Verse 14. "Then the Lord raised up Hadad the Edomite, a member of Edom's royal family, to be an enemy against Solomon."
So, you know, if you have enemies, you couldn't have them if God didn't allow it to happen, if he didn't raise them up. So there must be something wrong in your life if you got something wrong with you. So the thing to do is get right with the Lord so he can turn your enemies away from you, and so that it can open up doors for you so you can have life the way that you'd love to have life. Okay, then what?
Verse 15.
Now see, if this tape runs out during this hour that we have here, then tune in tomorrow, because we're just going to continue on with this tape tomorrow, or if this is Friday, then we'll start again on Monday with it. I want you to hear everything that's on this tape because it's for your eternal life. Then what?
Verse 15, years before, David had gone to Edom with Joab, his army commander, to bury some Israelites who had died in battle. While there, the Israelite army had killed nearly every male in Edom. Verse 16, Joab and the army had stayed there for 6 months, killing them. Verse 17, but Hadad and a few of his father's royal officials had fled. Bracket, Hadad was a very small child at the time, and bracket. Verse 18, they escaped from Midian and went to Paran, where others joined them. Then they traveled to Egypt and went to Pharaoh, who gave them a home, food, and some land. Verse 19, Pharaoh grew very fond of Hadad, and he gave him a wife, the sister of Queen Tahpenes. Verse 20, she bore him a son, Genubada, G-E-N-U-B-A-D-A, who was brought up in Pharaoh's palace among Pharaoh's own sons. Verse 21, when the news reached Hadad in Egypt that David and his commander Joab were both dead, he said to Pharaoh, quote, let me return to my own country, unquote. Verse 22, quote, why, Pharaoh asked him, what do you lack here? How have we disappointed you that you want to go home, unquote. Quote, nothing is wrong, he replied, but even so I must return home, unquote. Verse 23, God also raised up Rezon, R-E-Z-O-N, son of Eliada, to be an enemy against Solomon. Rezon had fled from his master, King Hadadezer of Zobah, verse 24, and had become the leader of a gang of rebels. After David conquered Hadadezer, Rezon and his men fled to Damascus, where he became king. Verse 25, Rezon was Israel's bitter enemy for the rest of Solomon's reign, and he made trouble just as Hadad did. Rezon hated Israel intensely and continued to reign in Aram. Jeroboam rebels against Solomon. Verse 26. Another rebel leader was Jeroboam, son of Nebat, one of Solomon's own officials. He came from the city of Zereda, Zeredah, in Ephraim, and his mother was Zeruah, Zeruah, a widow. Verse 27. This is the story behind his rebellion. Solomon was rebuilding the Milo and repairing the walls of the city of his father David. Verse 28. Jeroboam was a very capable young man, and when Solomon saw how industrious he was, he put him in charge of the labor force of the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh.
Right, a lot of people wonder, why do I not? I've been here a long time, and I've never been put in charge of anything. It's because you're not industrious. I'll take somebody that's brand new, that's industrious, and I don't care if you've been there for 50 years, I'll put that industrious one in charge. Being a sluggard on a job for a lot of years doesn't mean that you're capable of taking charge of any position. I'll take the person that's diligent. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way the Lord is too. Then what?
Verse 29. One day as Jeroboam was leaving Jerusalem, the prophet Ahijah from Shiloh met him on the road wearing a new cloak. The two of them were alone in a field. Verse 30. And Ahijah took the new cloak he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Verse 31. Then he said to Jeroboam, quote, take 10 of these pieces, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I am about to tear the kingdom from the hand of Solomon, and I will give 10 of the tribes to you! Exclamation mark. Verse 32. But I will leave him one tribe for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel. Verse 33. For Solomon has abandoned me and worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Molech, the god of the Ammonites. He has not followed my ways and done what is pleasing in my sight. He has not obeyed my laws and regulations as his father David did. Verse 34. But I will not take the entire kingdom from Solomon at this time. For the sake of my servant David, the one whom I chose and who obeyed my commands and laws, I will let Solomon reign for the rest of his life. Verse 35. But I will take the kingdom away from his son and give 10 of the tribes to you. Verse 36. His son will have one tribe so that the descendants of David, my servant, will continue to reign in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen to be the place for my name. Verse 37. And I will place you on the throne of Israel, and you will rule over all that your heart desires. Verse 38. If you listen to what I tell you and follow my ways and do whatever I consider to be right, and if you obey my laws and commands as my servant David did, then I will be with you always. I will establish an enduring dynasty to you as I did for David, and I will give Israel to you. Verse 39. But I will punish the descendants of David because of Solomon's sin, though not forever. Unquote. Verse 40. Solomon tried to kill Jeroboam, but he fled to King Shishak of Egypt and stayed there until Solomon died. Verse 41. The rest of the events in Solomon's reign, including his wisdom, are recorded in the book of the Acts of Solomon. Bracket. So there's another book that's not in the Bible. The book of the Acts of Solomon. And
yeah,
bracket.
That's just another book that's not in the Bible that was not included by the Catholic who decided what books would go in the Bible. He eliminated the book of Enoch, the four books of Enoch, and he eliminated many other ones, the book of Adam and Eve, the book of Noah, and several other books. Then what?
Verse 42. Solomon ruled in Jerusalem over all Israel for 40
years.
Also
the book of Jasher and so on. Okay, keep going.
Verse 43. When King Solomon died, he was buried in the city of his father David. Then his son Rehoboam became the next king.
All right. That was the 43 verses of chapter 11 in 1 Kings, and now we have the commentary.
11 verse 2. Although Solomon had clear instructions from God not to marry women from foreign nations, not women, but just women from foreign nations, he chose to disregard what God had told him, God's commandments. He married not one, but many foreign women who subsequently led him away from God. God knows our strengths and our weaknesses, and his commands are always for our good. When people ignore God's commands, negative consequences inevitably result. It is not enough to know God's word or even to believe it. We must follow it, live by it, apply it to our daily activities and our daily decisions. Take God's commandments seriously is the key. Like Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, we are not as strong as we may think.
Yeah, he was the wisest man that ever lived, right? Then, until he became unwise. Amen?
Amen.
Now, you can be as wise as Solomon, or wiser even, by not doing the things he did. Then what else?
11 verse 3. For all his wisdom, Solomon had some weak spots. He could not say no to compromise or to lustful desires. Whether he married to strengthen political alliances or to gain personal pleasure, these foreign wives led him into idolatry. You may have strong faith, but you also have weak spots, and that is where temptation usually strikes. Strengthen and protect your weak areas. Put on the whole armor of God, because a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If Solomon, the wisest man in the world, could fall, if you don't listen to the Lord, you will too. 11 verse 4. Solomon handled great pressures in running the government, but he could not handle the pressure from his wives, who wanted him to worship their gods. In marriage and close friendships, it is difficult to resist pressure to compromise. Our love leads us to identify with the desires of those we care about. Faced with such pressure, Solomon at first resisted it, maintaining pure faith. Then he tolerated a more widespread practice of idolatry. Finally, he became involved in idolatrous worship rather than serving the Lord, and he would rationalize away the potential danger to himself and to the kingdom. It is because we want to please and identify with our loved ones that God asks us not to marry those who do not share our commitment to God. 11 verse 5 through 8. Ashtaroth was a goddess that symbolized reproductive power, a mistress of the god Baal. Milcom was the national god of the Ammonites, called, quote, detestable, unquote, because its worship rites included child sacrifice. Chemosh was the Moabites' national god. The Israelites were warned against worshiping all other gods in general, and Molech in particular. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, Leviticus chapter 18, verse 21, and chapter 20, verse 1 through 5. 11, verse 9 through 10. Solomon didn't turn away from God all at once, or in a brief moment. His spiritual coldness started with a minor departure from God's laws. Chapter 3, verse 1. Over the years, that little sin grew until it resulted in Solomon's downfall. A little sin can be the first step in turning away from God. Quote, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, unquote. It will definitely cause you to fall. It is not the sins we don't know about, the sins of ignorance, but the sins we make excuses for that cause us the greatest trouble. We must never let any sin go unchallenged. In your life is an unchallenged sin spreading like a deadly cancer throughout your entire being, your spirit? Whatever you do, don't excuse it. Confess this sin to God and ask Him for strength to resist all temptation, to deliver you from temptation, from evil. 11 verse 11 through 13. Solomon's powerful and glorious kingdom could have been blessed for all times. Instead, it was approaching its end. Solomon had God's promises, guidance, and answers to prayer, and yet he allowed sin to remain all around him. Eventually, it corrupted him so much that he was no longer interested in God. Psalm 127, written by Solomon, states, quote, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it, unquote. Solomon had begun by laying the foundation with God, but he did not follow through in his later years. As a result, he lost everything. It is not enough to get off to a good start or a right start in building our marriage, our career, or our church on God's principles. But we must remain faithful to God to the very end. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. God must be in control of our lives from start to finish. 11 verse 14 through 22. Edom was the kingdom southeast of the Dead Sea. David had added this nation to his empire. 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 13 through 14. It was of strategic importance because it controlled the route to the Dead Sea. Edom's revolt was disturbing the peace of Solomon's kingdom. 11 verse 29 through 39. The prophetic Ahijah predicted the division of the kingdom of Israel. After Solomon's death, 10 of Israel's 12 tribes would follow Jeroboam. The other two tribes, Judah and the area of Benjamin around Jerusalem, would remain loyal to David. Judah, the largest tribe, and Benjamin, the smallest, were often mentioned as one tribe because they shared the same border. Both Jeroboam and Ahijah were from Ephraim, the most important of the 10 rebel tribes. For more information on the divided kingdom, you could also read chapter 12, verse 20. 11, verse 41. Nothing is known at this time that I know of the book of Solomon. See also chapter 14, verse 19.
All right, that was chapter 11, 1 Kings, with its 43 verses, translation, commentary, and now we have part 5 of Receiving the Holy Spirit. Go ahead.
Number 1, believe. After
the main thing is to believe. We receive salvation by faith in the whole Word of God. We receive healing by faith in the whole Word of God. We receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit no other way. It's all by faith. Everything that we receive from God must be received by faith. We receive prosperity by the faith of God, by the faith that we have. God has already provided these things for us. We just have to receive them. And we can't say that we're going to receive them without doing the things that the Lord tells us to do. We have to keep the commandments, and then all these things are ours. All right, then what?
After you have dealt with everything and emptied yourself, you must believe that the Holy Spirit is filling you from within. You only need to believe in the filling of the Holy Spirit without trying to feel whether or not you have been filled or not. Real faith doesn't depend on feelings. If you will only believe in this manner, the Lord will cause the faith of the Holy Spirit to become your practical experience.
Right. Now, when I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will speak in other tongues. You may not just do that once. That's just a sign that you receive it. You'll also have a feeling. It comes with it. But I'm not saying that everyone receives it that way, but that's the way that I've always seen people receive it. All right? Go ahead now.
It's not hard. It's just receiving it.
Right. It's not hard for you to receive salvation. You just receive it. It's not hard to receive healing. You receive healing the very same way you receive salvation. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit the very same way that you receive salvation and healing. You receive prosperity the very same way that you receive all these other things. And you receive victory over everything in this world by faith. Okay, you never retreat. God makes no body armor for the backside. You always are to advance. Then what?
2. The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit outwardly. The way to be filled with the Holy Spirit on the outside, outwardly, is as follows. 1. You must be willing to be used by God.
Yeah, if you're not willing to be used by Him, forget, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. Because that's the commandment, is you must be believe, and then you must be willing to be used by the Lord. What point would there be for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is given to you so that you can be used by the Lord. And He won't give it to you if you have no desire to be used by Him. So forget it if that's your stance against God. Then what?
If you're not willing to be used by God, then for what reason would He fill you with the Holy Spirit or anoint you outwardly?
There would be no reason for Him to anoint you outwardly, because it's for the work of God that He anoints you the power. All right, then what?
I have previously said that the Spirit of God descending upon man as power is for empowering us or you to do the ministry. The reason for it is that we may be made content and competent for the work committed to us by God, and that we or you may be used by God. Again, in the Old Testament, whoever was really willing to be used by God obtained the descending of the Spirit of God upon them as power. Moses was such a person. So also was Samson, David, Elijah, Elisha, Ezekiel, and other prophets. In the New Testament, it's the same. The same principle remains. The first example in the New Testament is one upon whom the Holy Spirit descended was the Lord Jesus. The reason the Holy Spirit descended upon the Lord on the day He was baptized by John the Baptist was that the Lord was testifying to heaven and earth through baptism that from that day He was going to be officially used by God in the ministry. At the time when people in the world cared neither for God, God's will, nor God's word, but lived only for themselves, Jesus of Nazareth stood forth before the whole universe to show that He desired to live for God, to do the will of God, to be used by God, and to work for God, so that God could do the work in him.
Right. This is why God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," when the Holy Spirit was coming down upon him. Okay, God is not well pleased with anybody that says they're sons is not willing to be used by the Lord. They just sit there thinking that God is supposed to be their flunky. No, the Bible plainly states in the Greek, it says that I, Paul, am a slave of the Lord. Now, slaves cannot do whatever they want. They must, if the master wakes them up at 3 or 4 in the morning, they must wake up and be willing to wake up, not do it in murmuring or complaining. All right, then what?
It was at this time that the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove.
And God said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well, not just pleased with, but well pleased with." All right, then what?
This is true also with the first bunch of apostles. Originally, they were fishermen, but they gave up both the fish and boat, and with all their heart, soul, mind, and body, they were willing to be used in the ministry by God, that God would do His work in and through them.
Anytime you see somebody come into the church and they are scoping out women, or if they're women scoping out men, those people are not willing to be used by the Lord. They're just in there to find somebody to have sex with. And they should don't come in my church doing that, because my church is the church of the Lord. Go down to the Hollywood Palladium or a singles bar. You know, that's what you're looking for. You don't try to find it there, because if I get wind of it, you won't be in the church anyway. Because it's not for money changing, it's not for selling things, and it's not for to come out there and scope out the girls or the boys. All right, then what?
On top of this, their desire was to continue the work of the Lord, to fulfill God's work on earth, to bring about, to establish the kingdom of God here on earth.
Right, that's what it's all about, is to receive the Holy Spirit. Some people say, well, I've tried to receive the Holy Spirit. No, if you don't have it, you're busy scoping something out. Your desire is not to be used by the Lord. You're doing something else. Your mind and heart and spirit and soul is on something else. Because if you desire to have the Holy Spirit and do a work for the Lord, the Lord is more than willing to give it to you. He wants to give you that Holy Spirit more than you want to receive it, no matter how bad you want to receive it. Then what else?
Their heart's desire and attitude did prepare the way for God to pour out the Holy Spirit upon them on the day of Pentecost.
Right, they had the right attitude. Amen?
Amen.
They were there tearing, waiting for it, wanting it, desiring it. Well, they wanted to be in the ministry. They wanted to serve. They wanted to please God. They wanted to do a work for Him. They wanted Him to do His work in and through them. Then what?
There are many examples of this in the Bible. They are innumerable in church history as well. About 200 years ago, the Meridian Church had a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Before that, they also were prepared to be used by God. Therefore, at a meeting of the Lord's table, the Holy Spirit greatly filled them. After this, they were used by God in an astonishing way. So actually, if from the first, when all those who were saved would be willing to abandon everything for the Lord to be used by Him, then upon being saved, each one would be in a very strong, positive position to receive both aspects of the filling of the Holy Spirit simultaneously, as occurred in the house of Cornelius.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, to both aspects of the Holy Spirit, meaning they to have the life of God in them and to be empowered outwardly with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You must have both aspects. God is not going to baptize you outwardly with the Holy Spirit unless you are first, unless you first have His life in you. So His Spirit inwardly, Christ inwardly, with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
I regret to say today that there are too few people who are willing to be used by the Lord upon being saved. Most people are satisfied with just possessing eternal life and not having to perish. They totally disregard God's word and God's will, God's plan. Neither do they desire to have power to work for God and fulfill His will, the things that He's planned. Although each one, when saved, must someday, to some extent, receive the moving of the Holy Spirit and a desire to work for the Lord if they want to enter the kingdom of heaven, but because they're not willing to give themselves as a sacrifice acceptable unto the Lord, be used by God, they suppress the work of God, the Holy Spirit's move, and their desire is only for themselves.
So if they suppress the work of the Lord, then they become Antichrist. If you either want to be used by God or you want to be Antichrist. Because any time you are anti-doing what the Lord wants you to do, you're anti-against Christ. And so you can't enter the heaven, in the kingdom of heaven, by being against Christ. He says, all those that are not with me are against me. And against means anti-me, anti-Christ. And he says, Paul said, John stated that even today that there are many antichrists. Amen? The Apostle
Amen.
John. So antichrist spirit has been in the world ever since the world began. Satan was right there in the Garden of Eden. Antichrist. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
They cannot disobey God and enter the kingdom of heaven.
This is true. Then what?
So even though the power of the Holy Spirit within repeatedly moves them and puts demands upon them, yet they persist in refusing the Lord, to their own damnation. When Rebekah was engaged to Isaac, she made no delay, but leaving her father's house, she followed the old servant to give herself to Isaac. Genesis chapter 24. A lot of people today, the majority of them, have believed in Christ and are saved, yet they refuse to give themselves to Christ as a living sacrifice to be accepted by God. They deny the Lord.
So God gave them a chance to be saved. Then they reject the work and become Antichrist. So this is the meaning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, The Lord will not come back to earth until the devil sits down, or the Antichrist, the spirit of Satan, enters the temple of God. The temple of God happens to be us. And a lot of people think that there's going to be another temple of God when the New Testament plainly tells us that the temple of God is us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that you aren't your own, you belong to God. And if you belong to God, then you're going to do what God wants you to do. If a car belongs to me, that car better well do what I do. If I put the ignition on, it better start. Okay? And it better, if I steer it to go to the right, it better not go to the left, or I'm going to drive that thing right over a cliff and bail out before it goes over. Amen? Well, do you think that God's going to let a disobedient person like that enter the kingdom of heaven? You're out of your mind. Okay, then what?
They linger in their original position, unwilling to let the Lord use them. So therefore, they believe that they can cheat the Lord. He gave salvation to us, mankind. Yet mankind has turned their back on him. The Lord tells us, if you come to him, he'll come unto you. If you turn your back on him, he'll turn his back on you. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. They refuse to give themselves to the Lord. So this sort of condition makes it to where mankind is unable to receive the outward filling of the Holy Spirit after they have been saved.
So this big revival that you see today, it's a bunch of saved people that have refused to do the work of God, and they love to follow the Catholic teachings of just going and, you know, waving your hands back and forth, and also all these other teachings, and they believe in merging and not separating yourself away from sin. How can you do a work for God if you are complying with every satanic thing on the face of this earth? That isn't the work of God. You're just trying to be a man-pleaser. If you're a man-pleaser, you're going to hell. You're supposed to please God because he saved your soul. He died for you and resurrected for you and ascended into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to be talking about the ascension in one of the nearby parts of receiving the fullness of the stature of Christ, which is the next series I'm going to be doing, receiving the fullness of the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these are very important in your daily growth so that you can be totally filled with the Spirit and totally and filled with the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the stature of Christ. Okay, then what?
And because of the fact that they are so unwilling to be used by God, very few of them receive the outward filling of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Now this is, as I was about to say, second chapter, Second Thessalonians, it tells how that the coming of the Lord will not come. Jesus Christ will not come back to earth. Don't worry about all these things he was warning them almost 2,000 years ago, because it won't happen until you see a falling away of the church. Okay, so the falling away is disguised by Satan as a big revival today. You see all these people that are just following false doctrine, and they're waving their hands, lighting candles, thanking and praising the Lord, they think. And yet they do with his they praise and thank him with their lips, but with their bodies they don't allow him to live in their bodies and work in and through them. And so they have, in fact, allowed Satan to enter into God's temple. And they're saying, because they don't do what the Lord says, they're saying that Satan is God, because they don't keep God's commandments. And so they're Antichrist, and there is no forgiveness for this in this side of eternity or in the at eternity. So you're just damning yourself if that's the way you believe, because this is absolutely a lie that you're living. Okay, so they think there's a new temple going to be put up in Jerusalem, the temple of God, and that Satan's going to sit down in there. It's you're the one that Satan wants to sit in. And if you let him, you become the temple of Satan. Vous, in French, you,
it's you. Go ahead.
And because of the fact that they are so unwilling to be used by God, very few of them receive the outward filling of the Holy Spirit, causing this experience to become mysterious and rare. In fact, the outward aspect of the Holy Spirit is by no means more precious or more difficult to obtain than the Holy Spirit within, the only requirement being that we be willing to be used by God.
And that you have faith. Amen?
Amen.
You don't have faith if you're not willing to be used by God, because God, what do you think He saved us for? He saved us so that we could become one body, not individuals, so roaming off someplace or thinking that we're doing a great and mighty work for God, but that we as a group or a one body, Christ only has one body, and it has many members. He's like a polygamist. He has many members, but he only has one wife. But this wife is composed of many, many, many millions of souls. It's just one body, and we all have to agree. Because the body of Satan is so big that the only way that we can fight Satan is not as individuals, but we have to fight Satan as a body, the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we, the many members of we are the body, and we all have to cooperate in fighting for God, the good fight of faith that Paul spoke of. Okay, go ahead.
And if we're unwilling to be used by the Lord, well then, what value are you to the Lord? And what type of a person would God be to let you into the kingdom of heaven after refusing to be used by Him? And why are you desirous of receiving the Holy Spirit when you're not willing to be used by the Lord? You will not receive the kingdom of heaven.
Right. You know, having common sense and receiving the common sense word of God is the most important thing that you could ever do. Well, praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. Hopefully I'm your pastor. Whether you like it or not, I am. You know, if you're listening to me, I'm pastoring you. Okay, and you've just heard 1 Kings chapter 11, 33 verses, commentary, and also part 5 of receiving the outward manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the inward manifestation of it, and doing a work for God. And until chapter 12 of 1 Kings and part 6 of receiving the Spirit of God, again, this is Tony Alamo. Meditate on these things. Check the Bible out to see if I'm telling you the truth. Doesn't matter who it is. Check your pastor out. And check this pastor out. This prophet out. And until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord.